never filtered, always fun.
Brendan will sometimes give a fist pump after a big goal. You don't even move. How is that possible?
Did you ever watch a duck on water? You don't see anything, and the feet are going like hell. So that's what you're saying.
Okay, so the heartbeat is racing, is what you're saying.
I have no idea.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Game two tonight, Raptors in Cleveland taking on the Cavs. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Some point this afternoon, we're giving away a pair of tickets to game three at the ACC. Tonight, it's a nice night, so Jurassic Park should be alive and well.
Yes, it will be. You can see it right now on CP24. They're firing it up, starting to get... I think the doors open at 5, right?
Right, so I would expect some people to start getting down there relatively soon. But the past couple of games, the weather has been so ugly.
I know, it's been terrible. And isn't it supposed to be a bad weekend?
Awful weekend. We've got the couching to 10K on Sunday.
Yes.
And last time I checked, it's supposed to be 7 degrees and raining.
It's not good. But we got to forge through, I'm telling you.
I'll be there, man.
I'm going to show up, too.
Don't worry about me. I don't worry about you. I worry about the guy in the middle.
The guy in the middle, whose idea it was, and he roped everyone into it, now he's hedging his bet.
We should ask people to send in their tweets at HayesTSN. You can text us 105050. You can email us. I don't even remember what the email account was. We haven't thrown it out there in a long time.
Yeah.
All right, live at tsn1050.ca.
Right.
What excuse do you think O-Dog will use on Sunday for not having to actually walk
I think he just goes at it straight on, like I didn't want to do it.
No, he won't do that.
What's a Jerry's percentage that he shows up?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it might come up in Jerry's in about 30 minutes.
Really?
I have a feeling. I have this kind of intel. Every once in a while, Jerry will give me a bit of a tease as to what he might be throwing out there at 5:30 on Wednesday. But I don't agree with that, Noodles. I don't think he'll come out and approach it head on and say, I just didn't want to gum. I'm guessing.
Yes.
AM, PM clock. Like he'll go Jean Paul from Seinfeld.
Oh, okay.
And pretend as if he had his alarm clock set, but somehow it would, you know, it screwed him over.
Yeah.
Or his phone died and he got up at 9 as opposed to 6:30 when you're supposed to get up or whatever.
Now,
my guess.
He has family responsibilities, but outside of that, I mean, you can bring the kids. You can do things like that. I don't know
when kids are getting up. You think his kids aren't waking up at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday? Of course they are.
And what time does it start? 7:30?
7:30.
It is
gun goes off.
That is an early start.
Speaking of gun going off, we got to get to the Phil Kessel audio here in a minute. And we got a lot of things to touch on, but... This story out of St. Louis and Busch Stadium.
It is crazy.
Where a woman last night watching the Cardinals, a mom with her kid, out of nowhere she felt something graze her arm, like really sting her arm, and she realized that she was bleeding profusely. Turns out it was a bullet that was shot into the air outside of the stadium that landed right on her seat.
That's crazy.
And like, in a way, incredibly unlucky, clearly.
Right.
Like, of all of the people, of all of the different places that bullet could have landed,
if it hurt
to hit you in the arm, that's very unlucky.
Right.
But if that got her on the top of the head, what would have happened?
Probably could have killed her.
I would think, right?
Because if it's coming down at a high rate, like if it cuts her head, like it, or it cuts her arm and burns her, like it's curtains. It's very scary. You're right, because you always see in the movies they shoot guns into the air or
and
whatever.
No one gets hit or anything. Like it's like they just evaporate in midair.
Wow. That's scary.
How scary is that?
Just after I was defending St. Louis the other day saying it's such a great city. Well, it is. It could happen anywhere. It really can.
Can it, Noodles? You think it really happens in any Canadian city? Who's shooting guns around the Rogers Center?
I read about something awful happening in Hamilton about a guy who was murdered yesterday, I believe.
Okay, was he murdered?
Yeah.
Okay, he was murdered then. That
in
doesn't mean
driveway.
Some idiot was just shooting bullets into the air.
Well, they were shooting bullets into him. That's the terrible thing.
I didn't say murders can't happen in Canada. Of course, murders happen all around the world. But what kind of a an idiot is sitting outside of a stadium just shooting bullets into the air?
I don't know.
That is what. That's very American as far as
I believe
it
came from East St. Louis. It's gritty over there.
You're calling your shot on that?
I'm calling my shot. But anyway, I'm still going to stand by that St. Louis is a great city. But they're pissed off right now. Your boy Chaser was having a meltdown on Twitter last night at the refs. Did you see that at all?
Those refs are lucky they didn't run into Kelly Chase because I'm not sure they would have got out of Nashville alive.
I know.
God, was he having a rant on those refs last night.
He was so worked up about the refs.
Well, listen, he made a good case in terms of the scrum. Picking out one blue, that was garbage as far as I was concerned. And then Ryan Ellis scores on the power play.
But the problem is with stuff like that, the ref does always look for somebody. And Joel Edmondson got a stick up on Coley McLeod. They were jousting, and Edmondson cross-checks him, and his stick actually hits McLeod right in the face, like in the jaw. That I'm like, hard to argue that that's not a penalty. It's a penalty. The problem is you usually, in scrums like that, you usually take two. You even it out. And it was the difference in the game, and the Blues are really up against it now.
They're in big trouble, and you got to give Nashville a lot of credit. We haven't mentioned the other game last night because it was a blowout. The Rangers just dismantled Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa was terrible. That was their worst game of the playoffs.
That really feels like it's tied.
Yeah, it's
2-1. Even though it's 2-1 Ottawa, it feels like it's tied.
That because that was a dismantling early on. I mean, the shots were 15-5 in the first period. And Ottawa really wasn't in it. Craig Anderson made five big saves in the first period just to kind of keep it somewhat close.
No, it wasn't much of a game. And let's be honest, the series right now of the playoffs is Pens Caps. And we've been waiting for this all year, fully expecting these two teams to meet in the second round. Just the way the bracket sets up in the NHL, Caps Pens. It's like Raptors Cavs. Only these teams are on equal footing as opposed to the Raptors really being in trouble with Cleveland and more than likely not being able to find a way to get past them.
Right.
But because of what happened in Game 3, it was a horrible situation. No one wants Sidney Crosby to be missing games.
Right.
But it's added to the rivalry. It's added to the animosity. It's added to the idea that this is must-see TV. It's a lot like the Orioles-Red Sox game.
Right.
Like, the fact is, I know where we're going as a society. I know where we're going as a sporting community. Player safety is more important today than it ever has been. The idea of getting rid of the garbage and the stick work and the dirtiness and fighting and all that kind of stuff, it's leaving the sport of hockey. I think it's slowly but surely probably going to leave baseball, even though it's not as physical, it's not as tough, but there's a long history of unwritten rules and codes and all that kind of stuff. I think that is leaving. But these are two more examples of how it gets people buzzing.
Yeah,
when crazy stuff happens and teams start barking at each other and there's potential for confrontation, the human reaction is, I got to see this.
Well, it is, and you want to see it. Now, do you in your heart of hearts believe it's going to get ugly tonight?
Not really, no.
No, I don't either. But I was telling you this off air. If you were the Pittsburgh Penguins, would you just have Tom Cecito take a shift in practice on a line where it could get a buzz in the media? Do you dress him for warm-up? Just, again, not with intentions to play, but just maybe get them thinking about it.
I think it's like what Jason Strudwick said in the previous hour. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk.
You're right.
So if you're going to do that to cause a stir, then actually play him.
You're right.
But I'm not sure what it would actually do once the puck drops and the Capitals realize, oh, it was just a facade. Sestito's not even playing tonight.
Right.
I don't think it would do anything.
I just threw it out there because if I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday and everyone's talking about Sid and he's going to miss game four with a concussion, you almost – and you know Jimmy Rutherford. Like, and I don't even know if these conversations would come up behind the scenes, but I guarantee you if I'm a general manager, I'm pissed off. I would think about putting Sestito in the lineup in practice and in warm-up, I was saying, just to put the element out there that we're not going to tolerate this. We may have a response. And Ovi's not going to be scared. Tom Wilson, guys who can handle themselves, they're not afraid. But maybe it takes a little edge off of Kuznetsov or Backstrom or somebody who isn't as physical leading up to the game. Sestito, make no bones about it, Mrs. Theto is not going to dress. But leading up to it for 24 hours,
I'm not sure, again, I don't think it matters once they realize, oh, he's actually not playing.
Right, the threat of it.
Right. And the problem that Pittsburgh would have is if you actually dress Cestito, I think he would get the message that I'm here to cause a big
problem.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he can't play. We saw it already.
He can't play.
He'll do the Enstrom thing and take a major and hurt his team.
Larry tweeting and saying, it's interesting how clean hits in the NHL spark big fights and big reactions, yet cross checks to the head don't. And it's an interesting hypothetical.
That is a good
point. If Niskanen caught him head down coming through the middle, clean hit, I'll bet you gloves are off immediately.
Line brawl.
But cross check to the head, hey, sorry, not sure what I could have done of it. All good hockey play moving on.
Right.
Like, why is, like, because he got a five and a major. So the league decided, at least in the moment, the ref decided,
right,
that's good enough for a five and a major. Yet if it was a clean hit, the refs would have said clean hit, but the Penguins would have responded
very differently.
Well,
for example, Jake McCabe on Laine. Like, Laine had his head down and gets crushed, knocked out, really. Now, I think.
Yeah, Scheifele
went after him.
Didn't really do much, but kind of the gratuitous, I have to prove that I'm pissed off here and I'm going to send a message. Although I think the guy who threw the pass up the middle of the ice,
right?
I think he kind of chased him around too. McCabe around a little bit.
It's just, it's interesting because it's a good point. I still am of the belief, I know people were all over me about it. I took a beating on Twitter yesterday, but I'm not going to call it a hockey play. It's an unfortunate play. There's no way it was premeditated. Yeah, there's a cross check there. There's no doubt about it. But at real time, I really believe there's a difference between real time and slow motion because we get to sit and watch it.
Of course.
And break it.
Of course,
real time, there's no way. Even if he braces himself, it looks like a cross check.
The Penguins have to really just take a step back and realize they have an opportunity.
Yeah.
They're still up 2-1. You know, you can go up 3-1 and put a stranglehold in the series.
Exactly.
Can't be stupid tonight.
Well, and the time to respond was game 3.
Right.
When you're down 2-0, even though you came back and you had a chance in overtime, if you're going to do something, do it then. Or take a number and you'll get them down the road. Josh texting and saying, the five best words in sports radio, we have Phil Kessel audio. That is true. We'll play some Phil a little bit later on just before Jerry. Jay's back in action tonight. Marcus Stroman pitching in his hometown, New York. And he's been money so far. He's got to try to find a way to solve the puzzle that is Aaron Judge. And the Yankees, they are on fire, man. And their bats were on fire last night. And a lot of people, of course, curious to find out what's going to happen at Fenway tonight between the Red Sox and the Orioles. And to chat about that, we're joined now by Steve Phillips, our baseball insider. And the insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. What are the chances this Aaron Judge character absolutely dominates the AL East for the next decade?
I tell you, it's unbelievable. This is the same guy who last year in 84 major league at-bats struck out 42 times. Every other at-bat he struck out. He looked blind last year, and he has made adjustments. And I interviewed him in spring training, had a really nice conversation with him. But he came across like a young guy, unsure of himself, a little bit timid and tentative. And it's hard to look timid when you're 6'7", 280, right? I mean, I get it. But, I mean, as timid as a guy like that can look. But, you know, what's happened, though, is his posture has changed so dramatically that now he does interviews with his chest puffed out, his head up, he bowls his neck. Because he was this sort of young guy, unsure of himself, just 2 months ago. And he has, I mean, Joe Girardi's comparing him to Derek Jeter right now, which I think is ridiculous to even fathom putting that on somebody at this young age when he's got, you know, can he have three months of major league service before we start throwing that label on him? But in those 3 months, he's better than Derek Jeter. I mean, he's all world, this guy. He's crushing the baseball. Nobody can get him out. He hits it farther than everybody. He broke a TV in a concession stand during batting practice yesterday out in the furthest reaches of center field. He does things that nobody else can. Matt Holliday said he's the most talented baseball player I've ever seen because he's the rock in a baseball uniform. Like, he's Dwayne Johnson, right? He's that big, that strong, he is very talented. And so I'd like to see what happens when he goes back into a slump again, because he will. And I want to know how he's going to be able to come out of it, because he couldn't do it last year in season. But the question is, will anybody ever get him out, because he's looked that good so far?
We always talk about different situations and popularity within cities and how much fun certain guys are having. If he's being compared to Jeter and doing all these great things, and you said he looks like The Rock, I would imagine he's having a pretty good time in New York City right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for him is going to be, you know, can his dating match Derek Jeter? I mean, Jeter was somewhat epic. You know, here's a big strapping young guy. I mean, it's a lot of pressure on him in that area. But, I mean, look, he's having a blast. And the reason that he's like Derek Jeter that people are pointing out is because in his post-game interviews, the level of humility and the acknowledgement of his teammates in every single time he's asked a question, he talks about how great his teammates are, how much support he gets from them, how much he's learned from them. And when a star points fingers at everybody else instead of pointing a thumb at himself when credit needs to be given, you got to love it, right? It sounds different. And so it's a unique guy that, you know, Yankee fans and New York fans are going to love him. If he continues down that road and produces and responds in the way that he has, it's pretty special stuff.
I don't think he's got a chance of replicating what Jeter can do on the field. He's got 0% chance of replicating his off-the-field routine.
I don't see it.
There's
I know. They say, they say chicks dig home runs, but I honestly don't see him matching that either.
No.
For Jeter. But listen, he is a really nice young man. He's very talented, and I think he's going to do just fine for himself.
Well, the polar opposite in terms of statures on the mound tonight for the Jays, and that would be Marcus Stroman. But you talk about a guy with confidence right now. He's rolling. There's a piece up on ESPN.com. I believe it's going to be in ESPN, the magazine. It was on the front page of the website this morning about Stroman and his history and what he did at the WBC and what he expects to do in the future. I mean, he's as confident as it gets, and he's backing it up with the way he's pitching right now. And it's really his rotation with Sanchez and Happ on the DL. Estrada's been money, but people don't talk about him enough. What have you made of Stroman and the idea that he can be this consistent for the rest of the year?
He's been really good. And, you know, and it goes back to the adjustment he made midseason last year. He was getting dinged around a little bit. And I remember breaking down his video for SportsCenter, and, you know, his mechanics were all messed up. You know, his bread and butter is his sinker and his slider. He's got that extraordinary sinker, gets a lot of ground ball outs, one of the highest rates in baseball with ground ball outs, and then he's got that tremendous slider as well. So he could throw a pitch that looks the same coming out of his hand, and it can break one way or the other way, and as a hitter, you've got to try to pick that up and read it in a short period of time. But the adjustment he made was that with his delivery, last year when he would go through his windup and his knee would come up over the pitching rubber, his hands were still going up toward the sky, which meant that when he started to stride toward home plate, his hands had to come all the way back down again. His arm had to come out of the glove, back around, back above his head and throw, and he wasn't giving himself enough time. And the adjustment he made now is that, and you watch him when he pitches, when that knee goes up, he starts to separate his hands, and his hands come down now, which has allowed him to get on top of that fastball, to get the sink down in the zone, to get on top of the slider, and he's become much more effective. Now, he could still throw the high fastball when he wants to, but he's doing it out of design rather than out of poor mechanics. And the one thing we've seen about Marcus Stroman is that, you know, there's no moment too big. And the bigger the moment, the more he's able to kind of garner that energy and channel it in a way to prove to everybody what he can do. And with the Jays struggling as much as they have, they can't afford to give up games. So every game is kind of a big game right now because they've dug themselves such a significant hole. So I look for Stroman to go out there and meet this challenge head on with what is a very dynamic Yankees lineup right now.
Obviously, the Jays will be keeping tabs on what's going to happen at Fenway tonight simply because of the teams that currently are ahead of them. I mean, all four teams in the division are ahead of them. But Red Sox, Orioles, I think all of Major League Baseball will be focused on this game based on the recent history between these two teams and what happened last night with Sale throwing behind Machado and Machado's postgame rant about just the Red Sox and the organization. I mean, that was quite something. What is it about Baltimore, though, that they're always in the middle of everything? Like, it's not a coincidence anymore, Steve. It's always the Orioles that have this chip on the shoulder. They're the ones with the attitude, always causing problems, as far as I'm concerned.
See, it's funny, right? And they point fingers at everybody else. And it was always, oh, Jose Bautista's this, Jose Bautista's that. And the reality is, well, it takes two to tango, and they seem to tango with a lot of different partners. I think some part of it's Buck Showalter, that he's got a little bit of that. You know, he garners some of that. People doubt us. We need to prove people wrong, and we're willing to fight to do it. Machado's had his run-ins. Like Machado had his run-ins with Josh Donaldson. Remember that one that they had before? But you know, this time, I got to tell you, where initially the slide from Machado caused some pain to Pedroia. It wasn't dirty. It was just late, and it wasn't a very good slide, but it wasn't illegal. It wasn't dirty. And yet we saw everybody reacting like there was some major problem with it, except for Pedroia. Right? Pedroia and Machado seemed to be okay with it immediately after it happened. And Machado grabbed onto him, said he was sorry, didn't mean anything, texted him, said, it's okay, I got it, I know you didn't mean it intentionally. But then Pedroia's teammates go after Machado. Then Dylan Bundy, a teammate of Machado, went after Mookie Betts and hit him with a pitch in the game the other day. Some think it was intentional. Some say he wouldn't have done it in a 2-0 game with Hanley Ramirez coming up on deck. He wouldn't have hit him to put the tying run at the plate. I think he did it intentionally to try to protect Machado. And then Chris Sale comes back and throws behind him. And in all of this, what's weird is Eduardo Rodriguez is one of the pitchers for the Red Sox who tried to hit Machado. But then when Baltimore went to Boston, Eduardo Rodriguez and Manny Machado are laughing and yucking it up around the batting cage. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Like, I thought you threw at him and everybody's mad at each other, so maybe this is done. And then next thing you know, another guy gets hit with a pitch. They can't seem to make up their minds. You know, Adam Jones says how much respect he has for the Red Sox and the way they handled the racism stuff. And Manny Machado says he's lost all respect for the Red Sox. Can somebody get on the same page with all of this? Because I'm getting confused. Chris Sale, here's the latest report, is that Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports and MLB Network reported earlier that Joe Torre, who's in charge of baseball operations for Major League Baseball, has said that Chris Sale will likely face a suspension. Even though he wasn't ejected from the game, he will likely face a suspension, and that there will be no warnings issued before the game today. I think that's nuts. One, I think Sale should have gotten ejected from the game yesterday and should be suspended, but I think they should issue warnings so that there's no more nonsense. This has to stop before a great player gets hurt.
Well, what I've noticed here too, Steve, is you get a lot of guys who aren't plunking players anymore. They're throwing behind them, and I'm not sure what to make of that. Like, is that their way of saying, I don't want to give you the free bag and I don't want to get suspended, so almost in a gutless way I'm going to send a message without actually hitting you? I mean, Archer did that to Bautista earlier in the week. And yeah, it's the same spiel after the game. The PR team gets to the manager and the player and say the same thing. Oh, I lost control. What do you want? Really? Chris right. Archer and Chris Sale are losing control? I mean, no one actually believes that. But I've noticed this trend where guys aren't even getting hit. They're just throwing behind them, which it's almost like they want their cake and they want to eat it too.
Yeah, well, a couple things, and you're 100% right. One of the reasons pitchers do it is because they want to honor what is expected of them, but they don't really want to hit the guy. So they think, I'll throw behind him, send the message, satisfy the people who want me to throw at him, but I don't have to hit him because I don't really want to hit him and hurt him. Other guys throw behind the batter because they believe that the natural instinct of a hitter when a pitch comes inside is to back away, and that they're going to back into the pitch. If somebody thinks it's necessary to do it, they can throw at a guy's thigh and hit him, and they should have enough control to be able to do that. And if you miss once, like Dylan Bundy did with Mookie Betts, you go right back in there again, and you get him. What they've done with Manny Machado is it's been target practice. It's like he's a moving target in the batter's box, and each guy's trying to take a shot at getting him, and it needs to stop. Here, you know, baseball and the unwritten rules, like, why do baseball players get to police themselves? You know, why do baseball players, you know, get to be the ones that say, okay, well, I'm going to throw at him. It was a bunch of bullies who wrote the unwritten rules. And this whole stuff about, you know, a guy hits a home run. This happened in the game the other day with the Rangers and Astros. Mike Napoli hits a home run for the Rangers off of Lance McCullers Jr. The next time he comes to the plate, Lance McCullers Jr. throws at him, threw behind him, but threw at him. Like, if you can't get me out, don't throw at me. Try to make a better pitch next time. But everybody thinks, if I can't beat you on the field, let me just be a tough guy and try to fight you and beat you up. And it's just nonsense right now, because what's going to happen? You got a 98-mile-per-hour fastball that you could kill somebody. And if that were to happen, we've changed the unwritten rules of baseball. Why are we going to wait for that to finally be the reason why we stop this nonsense?
Steve, you got to just tell me quickly before we let you go, who orders, like, the hit batter? Does it come from the manager, from the bench? Because I know the catcher's always looking there to get the call. Is it the catcher that just says, this is going to happen now? Who calls for it and dictates when it's going to happen?
Yeah, good question. I think that, you know, sometimes the managers will make a point to say to somebody. A lot of times, teams that I've been around and the teams that I've been the general manager for, what the manager did is he let the player decide. If a player thought he got hit intentionally and he wanted some flesh, a pound of flesh from the other side, all he had to do was ask for it and say, you know, we're going to get him. And then it would be the responsibility of the pitcher to go out and pick the guy to get him and get him, and we'd all know that you know, that it was remedied. So each team's a little bit different, but sometimes it's the manager and sometimes it's the players taking it upon themselves. In the Pedroia situation, I think Matt Barnes, the pitcher for the Red Sox, who threw at Machado's head and got the foul ball but got a 4-game suspension, he did it completely on his own because Pedroia said, this isn't me. I don't think this needs to be done. Other guys are doing it, and they think that they gain some collateral in their relationship with their teammates. They gain some credibility there. But it's just it's nonsense because you can kill somebody.
Thank you, Steve. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Jack Armstrong in the 6 p.m. hour, ahead of Game 2 tonight. Cavs wraps. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Jerry's Percentages next. All right, Jack Armstrong will join us in the 6 p.m. hour, teeing up Game 2, Raptors-Cleveland. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Raptors have to make an adjustment, but will it be enough to stop LeBron? It's really difficult to picture that. Jerry's percentage is coming up here in a few minutes. We had someone text in earlier. Yeah. Five best words in sports radio. We have Phil Kessel audio.
He loves the word idiot.
This all began with Dave Feschuk after Carlisle got fired.
Yes.
Dave went into the room and was asking him,
did you play purposely to get your coach fired?
Which was a really trolling question.
I don't remember the specific wording of it.
Were you playing to get your coach fired?
Was that it? Are you
yes,
sure?
I'm positive. Were you playing to get your coach fired? Oh, is that what you think?
Okay, and this is
how you think happened?
This is ultimately
this guy,
what ended up happening.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Every time.
Every time with this
guy. This guy's such an idiot here.
Well, that's the best. There's video of it because Phil shuts down the presser after that.
Yeah, he's done at that point.
And he's gone, and Feschuk's walking behind him being like, Phil.
Yeah, let's chat about it, right?
It's like, this guy, every time.
This guy's such an idiot here.
So anyway, that's the original idiot drop by Phil, one of our favorite audio clips. And I guess he was doing his media scrum today after the pregame skate.
Right.
And it was mentioned to him that Jay Beagle, who I don't believe was actually talking about the specific Niskanen play on Crosby.
No.
But said something along the lines of, that's how we like to play. We want it to be nasty. We want to be physical.
Right.
So that was brought to Phil's attention, and this is how it all played out.
Jay Beagle said that the playoffs should be nasty. That's the way they like to play.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he thinks that's clean, then he's an idiot.
So Phil dropping the idiot bomb again.
But I liked Beagle's response, too, because he was like, ooh.
Ouch, that
ouch.
Hurts.
Yeah, that hurt.
Do you want to hear what Jay Beagle
had
to say?
Yeah, I want to hear that.
The best part about this is the media is sitting there. It's like grade three where you're trying to start a fight between two guys. And you go to the one
guy
and say, hey, this guy said this about you. And then that guy says something. And you run to the other end of the hall and you say, hey, you wouldn't believe what this kid said about you.
Fight at recess.
You should fight him at recess. This is essentially what happened.
Yes.
We're talking about adults here. In the second round of the playoffs.
Ouch.
That explains the crowd.
That hurts. That's not very nice, but I mean, I guess he said what he said. I mean, yeah, it hurts. I'm hurt deeply. You know, and I don't know if he wants to settle it. We could always, you know, play some Mario Kart. He knows where to find me. I mean, we'll take it there.
If he wants to settle this with Mario Kart, is that a shot at Phil's persona?
Yeah,
the
like
fact that he plays video games and he knows he's not going to fight?
Coca-Cola's and video games is apparently a part of his love.
That would be.
I'm actually surprised he went to idiot, though. Like, if I'm losing my mind in a press conference in the playoffs, I am going to throw F-bombs. Like, I'm going to tee off on a guy. I wouldn't just say, guy's an idiot.
But it's Phil. Like,
don't
he's
you
a
want
quote
to,
machine.
Don't you want to see them square off at Mario Kart, though? How much would you pay to have access to the two of them with headphones on, one in D.C., the other one in Pittsburgh?
And Phil going, you're an idiot.
You're such an idiot for picking Bowser. I'm going to dust you.
I've never played the Mario Kart, so I don't understand, like... I saw somebody tweet that, like, Phil would, like, troll him and drive behind him.
Oh, yeah. Around. Phil's going to drop, like, the banana peel and just cackle away.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Slip on that, Beegsy, you idiot.
Good one, Randy.
All right, you guys ready for Jerry's percentages?
Let's hit it.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
No, no, keep the booing.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Go, Leafs, go!
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Jerry's percentages.
When did he mix in the Go Leafs?
I don't remember that. When did Jerry drop that?
Go Leafs go came in.
He's a fan, I guess. It's brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken.
And
from
it is
two people
so good.
To 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken.
By the way, we want more.
Do the cooking. 942 the Queensway, bestpc.ca. It is spectacular chicken.
It really
we
is.
We need another feed of it.
Yeah. Send up a couple more baskets of chicken, please, because the boys are hungry.
Like in the 6 o'clock hour, because when we ate it too early, I think the second hour we really struggled.
We fade pretty quickly after we eat.
Yeah, because we eat so much, we gorge ourselves, and then we get the meat sweats, and we each go in and out of consciousness.
It really is a sign of how unhealthy we are.
I know. It's terrible.
Hey, whatever.
Let's hit Jerry's.
Let's get out of here.
One of the Sens or Oilers will be playing in the Stanley Cup Final.
My worst nightmare.
One of the Oilers or the Sens will be in the Cup Final.
10%. 5%.
A quick change. They're both at 2-1. They're both up 2-1 in their
series.
Hey,
this is how this game works. I do my percentages, and then you two apparently
I think I'm
an idiot, which the stats would say I am, and then you guys battle out your own. Go ahead.
Let me take you through my process, okay?
We don't have time for that.
I don't think Ottawa has a shot. I don't think Ottawa has a shot because I'm not sure they're going to beat New York, and I definitely don't think they'll beat Washington or Pitt. Edmonton, though, Edmonton's got a shot. Now, I'm not convinced they're going to beat Anaheim, and I'm not convinced they'll beat Nashville, but I got to give them an opportunity here.
Right.
20%. 20%.
46%.
46%.
Mm-hmm.
That one of them is in a Cup Final.
In my bracket at the starting of the season, or started the playoffs, I believe I chose Edmonton-Washington in the final.
Looking pretty good. And if they win tonight, they're up 3-1 going back to Anaheim.
No, I just kind of went through things. Now, it could be Nashville. It could be wrong. Like
Nashville's closing in on being the favorites out
they're
West.
Playing pretty well.
The way they're playing.
But let's be honest. Edmonton hasn't done anything to look bad.
They always play that one horrible game, but then they respond pretty well.
We'll see how they play tonight.
P.K. Subban will win another Norris Trophy before his career is over.
And I'm sure the Habs fans won't be annoyed about it. Not.
Habs fans would be so annoying if P.K. won another Norris. I would have to block all of them on Twitter. Never listen to TSN Radio Montreal again.
I don't see his game as that dominating right now for some reason. He's just like a part of the team right now. He's got the big shot.
Yeah,
it's almost like he's the third best defenseman on that team.
I would agree with that. I'll go 6%.
10.
I'll go 11% just so that I can be on top of you.
Okay, but what does Jerry... When PK's done his career at 38 years old, we're going to get a
This guy's
tweet.
Been pretty committed for the past year and a half. I got a feeling Jerry on Twitter is pretty committed to this whole thing. But
I think he is, too. But my point is this is a long-haul one.
PK's got a shot at winning a Norris again. I mean, let's be honest. He could put up numbers. He's a very, very good player. But to your point about whether or not he's even the second-best defenseman.
Ryan Ellis is right there, too. Ryan Ellis is having a – I mean,
I looked up their numbers last night. I looked up their cap hits. Matthias Ekholm's a good player, too.
Very, very good.
Ekholm, Ellis, and Josi. The three of them are locked in on term, combined at like $13.5 million between the three of them.
Right.
Yossi's got the worst contract in the league for a player of his status. It's like a $4 million cap hit for another
Zaitsev
4 years.
Zaitsev makes more than Josi.
Zaitsev makes more than Josi. Ekholm, I don't remember what he's at, three-something. Ryan Ellis at $2 million, I believe. $2.5 million. The three of them are like $13.5 million combined for the next 2 or 3 years at least.
That's incredible management work.
It's great value.
Like, PK's at $9 million, but it doesn't even matter because of the other guys and where their cap hits are at.
Correct.
The Cavs will beat the Raptors by double digits tonight.
Another dominating performance. So suck on that one for a night, will you, Dwayne Casey?
It's a tough word to use, Dwayne Casey. I'm curious, if they get smoked tonight, will someone grill Casey again about the word dominate?
They will 100% grease them tonight. Maybe the Cavs will take it seriously and
I don't know.
Not be the Globetrotters tonight and destroy them. 100%.
I love LeBron's routine, though. This is what Barry Trotz did after game one, Leafs Caps. Remember, the Caps won that game, and he came out and said, I expect this to be a wake-up call, and we're going to be a lot better. Stop with all that garbage. You won the game. Right. You're favored to win the game. LeBron's pulling the same stuff. Like, we actually weren't that good. Our energy is what picked us up. Stop it. You played really well. You spanked them. I'm not going to say 100%. I think the Raptors will respond tonight. But do I think it's possible they win by double digits? Yeah. I'll say 35%. I'm hoping 100? It's a closer game. I mean, Raptors need to show up tonight.
27%. I think the Raps will show up.
I'm not sure they're going to win, but I think they can keep
it
close.
Can't have a 9-point game?
It's almost like even if they do show up.
LeBron is still going to be LeBron. I hear you.
Nikita Zaitsev will spend the whole 7 years of his contract as a Maple Leaf.
That's an interesting one. I don't see it.
No. 10%.
These are long-range Jerry's.
Jerry's now, head was up his ass.
But here's the other question. Can he go back to the K?
As long as he's gone, it means he didn't finish all 7 years in Toronto. Could be with another team in the NHL. Could go back to the KHL.
10%.
Might get Robida Island.
So he's
routine.
He's going to stay his whole career.
Well, the 7 years of the contract
and
in Toronto.
And he said 10%? 4%.
0%.
There you go.
0%. I can't picture a guy who's a good player.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's a good player, but he's... If they're going to move where they want to move, he's got to be your third or fourth best defenseman.
Correct.
I don't see that guy sticking around for 7 years.
One of the Baltimore Orioles pitchers will throw at a Boston batter tonight.
And all hell will break loose.
I kind of want to see all hell break loose. I hate both these teams.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Joe Torre stepped in. He's kind of told the fellas, not tonight. Like, don't even think about it. There's been too much negativity on this series. We're not going to have it, so don't do it. 10%.
Wishful thinking, maybe number higher. That's what I'm thinking.
I want to see something happen. I
want to see somebody get thrown at.
I want to see animosity. I want to see two teams that hate each other. I got no problem with that. I don't want someone to get hurt.
No.
But I'd like to see someone stir the pot a little bit.
You'd like to see Jose Bautista getting punched in the head at second base.
I don't want
to
see Bautista
that.
Get hit.
You love that.
I didn't love seeing him get clocked.
Yeah, you did.
But he did it to himself. He got up and he was ready to punch and he didn't get the throw in first. but I'm kind of with you. This is like, it's no different than in the NHL. You amp up all this potential animosity and nothing happens. So I'm pretty low on this. I'll say 30%.
I'll say 6%.
You're even lower than that.
Yeah.
Joel Quenneville will be spotted smoking a cigar at the Kentucky Derby.
NBC better not bump any of our hockey coverage for these stupid ponies.
That has happened before. The ponies went a little long, or I think the hockey game went long, and they pulled the plug.
They pulled the plug on it.
The Derby is this Saturday. The Blackhawks are not playing. Does Joel Quenneville get spotted by NBC?
100%, because Eddie Olchuk is with the Blackhawks.
He's the analyst.
And he's involved with the Derby
now. Eddie's the analyst.
He's the capper. He's not the analyst. They go to him for degenerative breakdowns of why certain ponies are going to win. They go to Eddie and they're like, all right, break down the guy on the 18 hole.
Where's this horse is from? How big are his nuts?
Oh, dude, he's like, it's unbelievable. He's like, I got him at 35-1. I love those odds. I'm going to put a pretty penny. Like, this guy is like Jimmy the Greek on NBC. Eddie Olchuk turns into a degenerate.
So for that fact, I'm saying 100%.
I'll go 100%. I think Q gets spotted.
Somebody's going to spot him.
I hope so.
With a guy.
One of O-Dog or Hayes will not, N-O-T, make it to the finish line of the 10K this weekend.
And don't get me started on that plug noodles. That son of a should be doing the marathon no matter what.
So Jerry's taking a run at noodles and his
status. 100%. I'm not doing the full thing.
You don't think you're going to get to the finish line?
No.
So wait a minute. You're saying 100% because you're personally not going to do
it.
You're throwing the game. You're Pete Rose right now for the 10K.
Find the name of the lady that was found getting in cabs at the Boston Marathon.
That's you?
It's happening.
All right. Well, if you're saying it, then I guess I got to go with 100% too.
100%.
And we're connected at the hip. So if you bail, I got to bail too.
Not bailing.
No, not bailing. But
we're not bailing.
We're
going and we're going to have a beer, beer. We're going to hang out a little bit. We'll have some fun.
You can join us, actually, post-race at the Chill Ice House at King and Bathurst around 10:30 on Sunday, because the two of us, the marathon runners, and you'll be there as well.
I'm going to be there, too. What's it called? The Chill Ice House?
The Chill Ice House, King and Bathurst.
We're going there.
Staff will be kicking around. She'll fall asleep on a couch.
Balls will be there.
Buddies are chirping in.
Who's this now? Tucker? On what? Us bailing and not getting through the 10K?
What's his percentage?
1,000%. Darcy Tucker's calling his shot, and he's not wrong. You just said it. You're betting against yourself.
All right, I'm betting 102. You didn't even get my number.
All right, there you go. We got to get back into our Copperfield versus the Leafs in Vegas poll question. Jack Armstrong coming up, and we'll continue to tee up what should be a wild night in sports.
Bacardi!
Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. We were talking about eating earlier, and today is the day. You got to get to McDonald's. McDonald's inviting Canadians to unite as neighbors on McHappy Day to support local families when they need it most.
Okay.
You're sold? Yeah, done. I will go.
Hi, man.
I'll be there. On McHappy Day, a small purchase makes a big difference in the lives of thousands of families with a sick child. $1 from every Big Mac Sandy, Happy Meal, and hot McCafe beverage sold in McDonald's restaurants will go to Ronald McDonald House and local children's charities across Canada. So sign me up for a couple of Big Macs. I'll take a Happy Meal.
Filet-O-Fish.
That's not going to happen.
Nope.
Double QP with Chez.
I don't double down on the quarter pounder. Straight QP, sign me up.
Nope.
All right, Jack Armstrong coming up. We'll get back into the Phil Kessel audio. We got a lot of things to continue to touch on. I got to take a run at Nabil again.
He just said you were strolling down the hallway,
yeah,
you're acting like you're...
I'll respond to that.
Nabauskas owns you.
I've got a response. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.